Welcome to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course with your hosts, Arielle Ford and Claire Zammit. Today's Soulmate Seminar is with Dr. Pat Allen on the topic, Getting to I Do with Your Soulmate, How to Navigate the Process of Attracting and Creating a Lasting Bond with the Right Person. Dr. Pat Allen is a licensed marriage family child counselor, a member of the National American Marriage Family Therapists and American Psychological Association, a credentialed college-level life educator in the state of California, and she is co-founder and president of the American Depression Association. Dubbed the Love Doctor by Lynn Smith of the Los Angeles Times, Pat Allen is a sought-after speaker and has been featured in numerous publications and on many TV shows.
Welcome, everyone, to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit. Couldn't think of anybody we'd rather be here to be speaking about this topic today than Dr. Pat Allen. Welcome to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share.
Dr. Pat, you work with women, really helping them to discover their obstacles to love and create lasting bonds with the right person for them. Why is it that it's so difficult for women these days to be able to attract and create these kinds of relationships?
Because they don't know who they are. You have to be an I before you can be a we, before you can be an us. And people today, men and women, but especially women, do not know whether they're alpha or beta. Now, beta women are wonderful, feminine, sensitive, generally excellent homemakers, hostesses, mothers. They are extremely valuable to powerful alpha men. However, there's another breed of woman that I specialize with. Those are the alpha women. These are the women, like myself, that were sprung loose by Betty Friedan and the feminine mystique way back in the 50s when we were pretending that beta was the best. Because for an alpha woman to be a beta, she has to muffle her voice, limit her assets, and basically put up with garbage in a marriage to a man who has not been taught or have been molded by a woman into understanding that the excitement of being with an alpha woman who knows how to act like a lady is the Pat Allen secret.
So this is Arielle. What are the differences between male and female energy in a relationship and the importance of understanding this?
Well, you see, I am a Jungian, I'm a Freudian, I'm an Eric Byrne, I'm a certified transactional analyst. I'm Neil Bohr in communication. I not only want to know what the atom is, I want to know what's inside of it. I want to know what the transaction is, but I want to know the effect of the words I use. Now, as you're well aware, patriarchy, Rihanna Eisler's book is great, Chalice and Blade, patriarchy, which I was raised under, I'm 76 years old. Patriarchy taught me that my best forte was highly educated. I am highly educated. I'm a Madams of the Sacred Heart, which are the female Jesuits. Wherever you see a Catholic Jesuit school, you will find a Madams College very close by, because we were to be the wives of powerful men, noblesse oblige. And because of that, I was raised to be totally educated, but to act like I wasn't. And that dichotomy drove me to drink and many other stupid things. And that was what I began the study of, which ended up in my doctoral work, Androgynous, Every Man Has a Yang Body, Chinese philosophy, and a Yin Soul, the Anima. And every woman has a yin body and a male soul, the animus. In every relationship, whether it's straight, gay, or lesbian, every relationship has four entities in it. Two yangs, two yins. And how they communicate. Remember, beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, for they become your character. And beware of your character, for it becomes your destiny, especially in marriage, as well as career. So I found that when my husband left me, way back when, and at that time, I didn't even own a purse. What do you need a purse for if you never get to carry money?
Unbelievable. I said, that's unbelievable. I can't
no,
imagine
that. No. That was who I was. I did not do the grocery shopping, but when he needed a paper written on kinesiology for his coaching and, you know, there I was. So I was smart enough to write papers for him, but too stupid to go to the store. Now, picture that. That's a real woman's liber. Iowa bred, doormat, and Catholic to boot. That my way to heaven was to act stupid. That's crazy making. So what happened was, as soon as he left and married the woman he deserves, and I had, by 26, I had four little girls who have now multiplied into five grandsons, two granddaughters, a great-grandson. I'm now surrounded by everything that today's women really want. I have the assets of the beta, and I have the assets of the alpha, a career, health, vitality, and a wonderful boyfriend. My husband has been dead for 8 years, and I'm never going to live without a man, period, because it's not good for me. So the truth of the matter is, the Chinese had it down pretty good, that yin and yang energy, active and passive, especially in the communication realm. There's only two forms of communication. Limbic touching, that's called sex, and neocortical words, that's called language. And so what I do is I particularly want to help alpha women who are complex know when to be a lady and when to be a businesswoman. Am I a career woman or a woman with a career?
Say some more about that, because I bet you a big part of our listening audience are alpha women.
I guarantee it. Alpha women have a tendency to believe in the quaint philosophy of equality in marriage. It isn't there. Equity in energy. There is an active and a passive energy in every transaction. For example, I do not give alpha women permission to ask for what they want and say what they think without an appointment. Honey, I have an idea about where to go, what to do, when to do it, how to do it, who to do it with. When would it be convenient, sir, for you to hear me today before I go to sleep? Now, in summary of what I'm saying is, I teach lady-like virtue, do you see, to women that could be killers. And by getting permission from my liege, who I'm equal to, I understand I'm equal to him, but equality produces competition. I know that if I choose to act yin, passive, patient, vulnerable, I will be able to manipulate him. My school teaches people to educate people in effective communication strategies. That's called manipulation. Oh, but manipulation is bad. I guess so, as long as you believe that sticker prices on cars are bad, makeup is bad, plastic surgery is bad. Nature can use helping at any time. So what I teach is alpha women to act as if they know that beta ladies have a natural gift based on their lack of complexity. They know how to cook, they know how to be beautiful, they know how to be sensual, and they are not competitive. They're not, absolutely not, turned off by their men controlling them with money, power, and prestige. Which, by the way, Harvard did a wonderful research project in the 90s, which is culminated in a book by David Buss called The Evolution of Desire, and even upgraded to the 03 edition. Men, yang people, men and women, mate and marry for sensual and sexual gratification after work. Yin people, women, and yin men mate and marry for status and financial stability. Now, everybody has got to figure out if they want to get laid or paid. Now, if you want to get laid, then for God's sake, keep your body in shape, whether you're a man or woman's immaterial. Because that's what they are paying for. And I have no problem with women being yang energy. How dare I say that a female body is built to act yin? How dare I tell a sensitive, creative, artistic, musical, probably left-handed man that he can't stay home with the kids? That's gender bias. That's not appropriate. Every relationship is a waltz, or a slam dance, or a disco. Now, if it's a disco, that means both people want respect, both people want to be cherished, but you can't tell who's who. They're two separate entities, hopefully enjoying what they're doing, but they're definitely not waltzing. And a waltzing couple can alternate. In some areas, he may be the yin. In other areas, she may be the yang. And the areas are time. How do you spend it? How do you live in space, your home, your homes? Do you do business together? Then you have to talk business talk and relationship talk. Money. Oh, there's a biggie. Money. My money, your money, our money. How does it go in? How does it go out? And last but not least, the ever-popular play, non-sexual play, and sexual play. I often tell, I'm not a moralist. You want to swing? Swing, but negotiate it. If you don't want to be on the cell phone when he comes home, or he doesn't want you to be, negotiate it. You only have three ways of communicating between the four of you. You can either negotiate with complementary communication, or you can compete with each other and duke it out. My work is androgynous semantic realignment, how to waltz even when you're both powerful.
So what you're saying, Dr. Pat, is that there are these yin and yang energies, and they need to be coming together in a harmonious way for us to get what we desire from relationships.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Descartes said, I think, therefore I am. But the problem today is, who do I think I am? And the truth of the matter is, in our androgynous culture, we women have earned the right to be respected at work. And all I ask is that we ask permission to do it with our powerful, respectable boyfriends, husbands, sons, fathers, brothers. Do you see? And men have been raised for centuries to be the power center. Well, I got news for you. We are powerful too. That's what women's lib is about. But the misuse of power results in competition. And that's what I attempt to dissuade. Negotiate. Don't intimidate. And for God's sake, don't seduce with helplessness.
Dr. Pat, so for the alpha girls that are, you know, career-driven, making decisions, powerful, but they desire a predominantly alpha man, How do they make the shift from, you know, the business suit during the day to dress at night?
I'll tell you exactly. Know when your balls are to be taken off. Is it 5 o'clock? Do you never take them off? Are you on call all day and all night? Do you disconnect your cell phone and your iPhone and your computer, or don't you? It takes 30 to 60 minutes at the end of your yang day when your brain is doing its problem solving, making money, when it's doing its career. See, you're either a career woman. I'm a career woman right now. For 6 years while my darling husband, also an alpha, was dying of a surfing wound from his hedonistic, gorgeous childhood, I was a woman predominantly with a career in the storage unit. Now that he's been dead, I'm out there. I'm writing books. I'm being a career woman, but I have a boyfriend of about a year who's a powerful man who basically loves me because I know when to be a woman and when to be a career woman. And he says, "You really know how to handle me." And I said, "Yes, I do."
So in these 30 to 60 minutes at the end of the day, how do we make that transition from...
I'll tell you how.
Great.
We do what we alphas always look down on in beta women. We go shopping, but not buying, just to look at pretty things. We go to the gym and exercise, and then we go to do back laps or to enjoy a massage. We go sit on a rock by the ocean or a lake and feed the birds. We get out of our left lobe and into our right lobe so that when we are with him, we don't sound like, "Yes, 5 o'clock, I'll be home, will it be ready?" I often tell men, don't call your alpha woman till after she's a woman. Watch your mouth. So for 30 to 60 minutes after the end of a business day. Now remember, how did she get her alpha man? By looking and acting like a beta. Passive. She didn't chase him. She flirted with him. She didn't speak first. She responded. She looked him in the eye and she smiled. Men who are gentlemen need to see those eyes, ladies. It's in the eyes that he sees your gentleness and your lovability. When you're an alpha, you're very often tempted to divert your vision, speak first, move on him, because that's your success-oriented communication system. But as a transactional analyst, all you're going to get is a buddy, a hookup lay, and a business deal. If you want to be the woman, the person who brings a busy, powerful man his sensuous life and his sexually desirable and available woman, you've got to attract him through his eyes. Men are visual. Women are auditory. We pick men for, you want your future wife to have the choice of working or not working. You would be willing to let her be home and have a baby or two or three or four and wouldn't need to go to work until the last one was at least in preschool. Now that the kids are pretty well grown, you wouldn't mind if she started her own company. Do you see? So, basically, it's a matter of the 30 to 60 minutes are for you to switch from your left lobe, business problem solving, communicate from your yang, I don't want, I this, I that, to your yin, feel good. Yin people need to feel good to do good. Yang people need to do good to feel good, and we're all both. And we're all both. But some of us are equally yin and equally yang. Richard Conniff wrote a book, The Natural History of the Rich, and it's one of the very few books that I've ever read that has spoken to the issue of yang, not yang, but alpha. You see, in our culture, we have a belief that everybody's equal. We're all the same. We're not all the same. Some of us have been given a very complex personality, very sensitive personality. We are all two people in one body. And in his book, he talks about the high side and the low side. We're either the best people on the planet or the very worst. Because we're the leaders. We're the players. People follow us. Downhill or uphill. And cherchez la femme. Wherever you find a mess amongst human, find the toxic woman who doesn't know when to be yin and when to be yang. She's a narcissist who wants to be both at the same time, and any men around her will be ruined, whether they're sons, bosses, employees, boyfriends, husbands, lovers, period. We women are the center of complex energy. Our brains are built for it, as Helen Fisher will tell you. C. Sue Carter will talk about. She studied the oxytocin factor. We men and women that are alpha are the leaders. But noblesse oblige. We have responsibility to love and to communicate in a negotiating way rather than in a competition or in a seductive, gamey, guiltifying way.
So, Dr. Pat, in really anchoring into this feminine yin energy and really bringing this to our dating relationship life, if we're wanting to create this kind of satisfying dynamic, what's the process by which we can attract the right person and begin to create a space where lasting bonds will form? I was reading online in some of your material, you have some techniques for flirting. What's
Absolutely.
A great way to get started?
Well, first of all, here's what, and I'm speaking, you understand that I'm speaking first to alpha women, second to beta women. Beta women have less trouble getting married than alpha women, okay?
Okay.
All right. The first thing you must realize is that for men, M-E-N, they pick with their eyes. Oh, I don't want to be a sex object. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And the way you do it is by being healthy. You can be handicapped and beautiful. Do you know what men marry? One of my books that I'm writing right now is Real Men Marry Virtue, Not Vaginas.
Great title.
Do you know the reason? Because virtuous women know the principle I just gave you, that men pick with their eyes, and it's not a castigation of our totality. It's simply the way nature, God, has designed them. They pick with their eyes because if they're going to pass on their progeny, they want a healthy woman. If a woman is handicapped and takes care of herself, her energy will be beautiful. It has nothing to do with what we consider beauty. It has to do with self-love. You know, Jules Michelet in the 19th century wrote the following. Any woman, older or younger, is beautiful if she knows how to be good and how to love. For a man reaches the infinite through the relationship with a woman, no matter what her age. And that means, I know in my life, in myself, I've already been to the gym. I was at the gym at 6 a.m. because I know that my body is an asset to my man, and therefore he will reward me with love, affection, tenderness, care, because I'm bringing him the pleasure of a self-loving woman. So the first thing a woman's got to do is recognize nature. Helen Fisher, who's now head of chemistry.com, nature first. The second thing she's got to know and do is, do I want a wife? And I mean that in a functioning term, a wife, a helpmate. That could be an older man who's already done his career. He's got his money, and he wants to support you. It's usually the older man, younger woman phenomenon. They fit together very nicely. He will be a wife to her in her career and think it's charming and wonderful. He will not compete like an equal-aged man might. It's hard for an alpha woman to marry an alpha man who's her age because they're both doing the same chore. Do you see? So she has to know, am I a career woman or a woman with a career? If I'm a career woman, then I've got to find a man who's already built his career, is willing to allow me the time and the space, and who's willing not to give me a bad time about what it takes to be a career woman. If I'm a woman with a career, I don't care if I've got a PhD or I've got a this, I'm going to know that whatever decisions I make in my career, they have to fit into my marriage. So I have to find a man who wants a woman who's willing to move to New York. Oh, but I have a career. Okay, then you're not a compatible person. You need three things in a relationship. Chemistry. And chemistry cannot be developed. It's either there or it isn't there. His or her chemistry DNA is a little like mom and dad and a little not like mom and dad. That's the complementarity. Nature does not want puppy mills for human beings. When we inbreed, we bring up the recessive genes. The second thing we need is compatibility. And compatibility in my world is the ability to negotiate from yin to yang so that you don't compete from yang to yang or yin to yin. I feel bad. Well, I feel bad too. And the third thing is communication. That's my specialty, androgynous semantic realignment. That's my game. That's what I teach people. So she's got to know whether she wants to be a woman with a career or a career woman, and then she's got to go out and market it. 3 to 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, she's got to be in an arena where her men exist. If she wants a career man, she's got to go, oftentimes, join a yacht club. Go to a country club, because he's playing tennis, he's playing golf, he's sailing his ship after a hard day at work. If she wants a yin man, she's got to go where he's going. He's generally writing, he's drawing, he's printing. He probably belongs to clubs that do that. And she's got to be there. She's got to find. She's taking cooking classes. He's at Cordon Bleu because he likes to do the sensuous. Maybe he's a trust baby. And he's already got his money from mom and dad. That doesn't mean that he can't be a man with a career that his dad had. And he will be a wonderful, wonderful helpmate. So you need to know if you want a wife or a husband. Husband. is caregiver. Wife is helpmate. And then 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week. Four of those days, walk-bys. Flirt in the library. Flirt at the county courthouse. Flirt at the, just walk by. Just look in the eyes and smile. When a man, a real man, spots that, he will have the courage to walk up and say, hi, my name is George whatever. You know, I find you attractive. How about a cup of coffee? Do it.
Do you have a technique for flirting, your five-second
yes.
flirt technique? Can you share that with us?
I'm saying, you get into his eyes. See, here's one problem with alpha women in particular. They're shy. They're so accustomed to being competitive, conquering, and controlling at work that they forget the coquette skills of a good six-year-old. If you live anywhere near a six-year-old healthy girl, you're going to see a coquette on the hoof. That little girl will eyeball and smile everybody. Now, yes, that's dangerous, and we teach our little girls, don't do that with strangers. Do you see? But that naivete, that coquettishness, is basically the skill of flirting. And I want women, look in his eyes. Won't he think I want sex? If you're lucky. That doesn't mean he's going to get it. Do you see? And don't do anything dangerous like phone numbers, you know, to your home. Have a special phone. Get a cell phone extra. Don't give addresses. Meet him at a restaurant. Be safe. But be courageous in your flirting. You have on-the-hoof flirting, which is walk-by. That's 4 days. On the fifth flirting day out of a week, I give you 2 days off. On the fifth flirting day, I want you to be planted or standing. Could be a cocktail party. It could be the coffee after church. It could be listening to music. You've got to be somewhere stationary. Every woman that's listening to this knows she's been in a social setting where a man was watching her. Now, here's the problem. Gentlemen are both men and women just like us, and they will look at you and watch you and how you're operating for a piece of time before they courageously walk up. Drunks and nerds will walk up immediately. That's why they're drunks and nerds. But real gentlemen need a signal. Married women don't give these signals. Spinster women don't give these signals. And women that are totally career women and have toy boys on the side, they don't flirt either. Cougars attack. And if that's what you're doing, fine. That's simply being a human being who doesn't want to mate or marry. You see, I consider mating marriage without a document. And I consider marriage mating with a document. Now, a pedigree dog is the same dog with or without papers, but it's more financially valuable with papers. And that's what marriage is about.
So jumping a little bit further from flirting to sex, I know you have some really innovative and interesting ideas.
Wait. Sex is everything you taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. It's intercourse I'm talking about. The word consummation is a legal word. No one in the universe has ever consummated a marriage with a hand job. Believe me. And the reason that we have our people that resist the idea of men and women marrying, because they believe in the legality of consummating a relationship with intercourse to make little taxpayers. Do you see? Marriage is between a man and a woman. Okay. That's a legalistic term for consummation, which is just fine depending on what state you live in. However, making love is both sexual and intentional. People who have sex rarely make love. People who make love have sex, and sometimes very raw sex, as part of that repertoire. But if you put intercourse, penetrating intercourse, oral, anal, and vaginal, if you put intercourse in the play, okay, you are now going across a barrier that I require negotiating for before experience. I don't care if you're straight. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're lesbian. When you penetrate another human being's body with your body, you are having intercourse. And you may or may not be making love. When you're being sexual, you're hugging, you're kissing, you're whatever, but you're not having intercourse. Trust me. I do not have intercourse with my boyfriend because he and I have agreed not to marry. We make love, however, with affection, very nice touching, and all that you would call foreplay. Cher Height, in her book, you know, talks about intercourse is not necessarily the high point of a woman's sex life, but affection and foreplay is. Men, on the other hand, are very focused. They want in because that's how they're built. And there's nothing wrong. But we women, as Sisu Carter, University of Maryland, found out, we women have a problem marrying through bondage. And the word bondage is serious. And the chemistry is oxytocin. And oxytocin can cause us to be psychologically married to this human being prematurely. I have a phrase. Premature, you know, monogamy. Premature monogamy is marriage for especially a young woman and an older man. That's how the gold diggers steal older men from their good and faithful wives. They give him free intercourse. That's a gold digger. And young women who think they can have intercourse with a man and not get hooked on him, lots of luck. Because you go to bed with him as a nerd and you wake up with a god.
So just for clarification, so when you're having intercourse with somebody that you don't have this commitment from, your brain
yes.
is releasing the
right.
hormone oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone.
Yes.
And you're locking yourself into something that may or may not give you what you want.
And it'll take 2 years to get over.
Yeah, I read that you have an 8-week detox program for
absolutely
for those who are hooked into a relationship where they maybe they've been dumped or they know they're not going to get what they want and they need to leave the relationship, but they're still
yes.
craving this person. What is the 8-week program?
Here's what it is. First of all, you did your best. You read Pat Allen's Getting to I Do, and you said, sir, you know, he said, I want to make love to you, and you said, I'd love you to make love to me. Are you really ready after 4 dates to be monogamous, to work towards marriage in a regular weekly way? Are you ready for that, sir? No. Well, then, I don't want to have intercourse until you are. Remember the three components. longevity, you both agree that you're going where you think you want to go. Exclusivity, how many people are we going to be intercoursing? And if you agree to 10 each, I don't care. And if you both agree to a one-night stand, I don't care about that either. Lots of luck. You see? And then the fatal one, continuity. How many of the ladies, you saw him yesterday, and then you don't see him. Where'd he go? Men fall in love when they're away from us, thinking about us. We bond to them when we're with them. If we don't know what their long-term plans are, their exclusivity factors, socially and sexually, in today's world, lots of men will go monogamous sexually for health reasons and then go right back on the website to hunt for more women. And the last one is continuity. Am I going to be seeing you regularly? Now, say, for example, this nice fair maiden has, in effect, got those three elements before giving herself to him, right? And then she finds out later, because it takes a year to know somebody's integrity, one solid year. The first 3 months are perfect. He does it right, you do it right, everybody's right. The second, he's a jerk, you're a jerk, and now you realize you're with a human being. Nobody, by the way, is worth marrying. Nobody. You've got to want to be married badly enough that you are willing to marry a human being, a finite, fallible human being. You marry the relationship, not the person. You do your half and hope to God they do theirs. The third 3 months, you negotiate time, space, money, and play. And in the fourth 3 months, you're committed to the relationship and going towards engagement, living together, marriage, whatever you call commitment. So that's the year that it takes to know a human being. I advise nobody to sign a legal agreement until you've dated a year. Nobody. So now the fair maiden has gotten herself into a sexual situation, her body's bonded, with a man who she then finds out is not in integrity, which people have a right to be bad. She now has got to go through detox. It takes three. When you meet somebody, you have chemistry right now or you don't. Men know when they have chemistry. Their bodies, their penises tell them, whoa, because their eyes say so. We women, especially alpha career women, we may not move that fast. It may take minimum 3 dates, maximum, who knows, before we even know him. How many women on the show basically thought he was a jerk when they met him and learned later he was darling and funny and responsible and loving and da-da-da-da, and they fall in love? So defloration can take 3 minutes to start and you jump in the rack. It can take 3 days or it can take 3 months. But you have to know what your style is. Are you with a man because you respect him and he's a career man? Or are you with him because he's a hunk and you want to lay him? Paid, laid. There we are again. So if you get stuck with somebody that you inadvertently bought the program, you're going to have to take the same reverse course. 3 days it takes to set up the dendritic brain system that we call attraction, infatuation. 30 days of being around him, dating him, eating, touching, hugging, whatever, is the soft wiring of the neurons. 60 days, if you've dated him for 60 days, you're probably getting into a hardwiring situation. Now you found out at the end of or during the imperfect period that he's still married, that he's lied to you or he's done something. Now you've got to do the following. If you have hopes for the relationship, You answer the calls, you answer the texts, you answer the emails, you answer the whatever way of communicating in kind, but you don't smell him. When you smell him, it isn't really smelling. You take in the DNA through your mouth, goes through the palate, hits the Jacobson's organ, triggers the neocortical part of your brain and the pituitary. Remember I said I teach virtue through science, which I admire Helen Fisher for, and Sisu Carter. Now, with that in mind, you can maintain the communication level of your chemistry and your compatibility warfling by communicating. But you don't allow him to get to your chemistry. Because by doing that, you keep remarrying him and remarrying him and remarrying him. Now, the minimum amount of time for detox is the 8 weeks. But that does not mean that if you see him afterwards, you won't inadvertently marry him again. So what I recommend for women that are detoxing off of a fraudulent deal is that you minimally do the 2 months, and then if he calls and says, but I want to see him in a reputable therapist's office who likes Pat Allen's work or is in fact Pat Allen.
And Pat, for the women who have no hope for the relationship, they know this is not the one that's ever going to happen.
Then for the women that know that he is absolutely unacceptable, you tell him, because I choose to believe, you know, we ladies act like ladies. We tell him, I really appreciate you had a right to be you, but I do not find that we are compatible. I will no longer respond to any form of communication. And if you choose to pursue me, I shall in fact call the police for the stalking division and or hire an attorney to put out a restraining order to arrest you if you're within 100 feet of me.
So just for clarity, just in case people aren't getting it, so that means no phone calls, no texts, no
nothing,
emails,
nothing
in person,
but
no
I want
smelling.
You to let him know.
Yeah.
Human decency requires, I do not give people permission to do things that are not in integrity, even when they deserve it. I will not support that.
Okay.
You let him know. In fact, you can't make a stalking report unless you let him know. Do you know that? You have to inform that person not to reach out to you. And then go into legal action.
And then let's say you tell the guy or you tell the woman, okay, we're done. Don't communicate with me. I'm not responding. And 2 weeks into it, you have this, you know, unbearable craving, and you call and
yes.
you connect them. Does the 8 weeks start
yes.
over?
Yes. if you reach out to them, if you get that chemistry going, you will go, oh, that feels so good. It's like your first shot of cocaine. There's cocaine addicts don't realize the best shot of cocaine they'll ever have is the first one. That's when you only had a limited amount of dopamine receptors. As soon as you take a snort, you have now doubled your dopamine receptors and you need twice as much cocaine. And it goes up exponentially for the rest of your life. So you can't afford one contact.
Whew. Okay, so that's a big commitment to unhook yourself and detox.
Hey, it's a physical. It's the same.
Well, and so just I'm just thinking as you're sharing this is like why it's so good to have clarity in advance of being able, of getting into something like this, because of the cost and consequence of going through this detox
is horrible
process.
Do you know how long getting to I Do has been on the book stands? 16 years. And I can guarantee you that when people read it, they hate it. You know what they say? They throw it across the room. They hate the book. Hate it. And then they find out they need it.
Well, so how do you negotiate?
What do you negotiate?
Negotiate about what it is that you're looking for. Just say, so you're an alpha woman, and you're looking for a long-term
alpha
commitment.
Or beta.
You're looking to mate. You're looking to mate, or you're looking to marry.
Wait, and, you didn't finish the sentence.
Well,
I'm looking to marry an alpha.
Well, yes. Let's say you're looking to marry an alpha or a beta.
Just,
maybe you could share the difference. Can you model what that conversation would look like for us?
First of all, you wouldn't start it. Here's what I'm going to tell you that's absolutely standard. We do know that men are much simpler organisms than we are. They have smaller corpus callosum. They have driven testosterone. They are nice, very nice human beings, but they're not as complicated hormonally nor neurologically as we are, period. So the first thing you've got to do is to catch him in the eye and get him asking you out. Now, he may feign, you know I love that word, he may feign non-attention and non-attraction by just a cup of coffee at work and this and that, you know, and everything else. But you know you like him. So you are watching. You are responding. Sure, I'd love to have coffee with you. And then he will do the following thing. In his own infatuation, excitement, he will interview you. So, Mary Lou, what are your plans for your life? Tell him the truth. I plan to marry. I plan to have two kids. I plan to be with the man who knows what he wants. And by the way, this is what your profile looks like. Ladies, mark it which side of you you want to marry to someone else. Do you want to marry your career side? Sell to his feminine, sexy side. If you want to marry to his career, sell your sexy, fun side to him. Remember, money marries sex and vice versa. You're trying to get laid or paid. Remember that. And so, what?
I was just going to say, I know that you talk about four types of communication that will tank a potential connection. How do we avoid these?
Well, we don't intimidate, we don't seduce. What you do is, when he asks you, where are you going and what are you doing, you answer the truth. Here's a very powerful message. Women want generally, men want specifically. So when a man says, what is it you want out of life? I want to be a married woman living in Chicago, having three kids, with a man who's really excited about his career. Do you see what I mean? And he said, well, I guess you could marry anybody. No, the man will qualify himself by being what I want generally. Men, on the other hand, see what they want, whether it's good or bad. Isn't it amazing? Men think pretty women are healthy, and women think that rich men are healthy. What a joke. Do you see? People are people. They're good guys and bad guys and good girls and bad girls. But men tend to go after what they see, and they do it by the following methods. They will interview you. You women make a grave mistake when you are secretive. There are four signs of a loser in communication. Evasiveness. Don't answer straight and honest. Secretive. Don't tell them what you really want, and especially what you don't want. I don't want to have casual intercourse. I am not having intercourse unless I'm in a committed marriage-bound blah, 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 blah. Condescension. Well, honey, you know, what do you do after work? That attitude, or, gee, you're such a powerful woman. How could you even think of going out with a poor, pitiful pearl like me? And the fourth thing is abruptness. Hey, babe, come on. Shut up. See, evasive, secretive, condescending up and down, and abrupt are four flags of a poor communicator. So the first thing a man that's attracted to you will do is he'll get you alone, and then he'll interview you. And when you tell him the truth, he may eliminate himself, rightly so. Well, won't that drive him away? No. Thank God he'll run away because he's not compatible. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
And the next point of communication is when he says, I want to make love to you. At that point, you say, I'd love to make love to you too, because the chemistry is there. But I've made a decision that unless I have monogamy, continuity, and longevity, no. I'll date you amongst others. I won't give up dating because I haven't found a compatible person. Chemistry is not the reason to marry somebody. Chemistry is one out of three reasons to marry somebody. Chemistry, compatibility, lifestyle, and communication of details. Time, space, money, and play. You got to build something. I went on a date last night because my boyfriend is out of state, and we have an agreement that we can socialize with other people. And this man is, I think, I've known him for many, 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 many years. And we periodically, you know, go out to dinner or something. And he is a hunk. And if I was a real uber cougar, he'd be the one. You know what I mean? But I'm not. I'm not. And he knows I have a boyfriend, whatever. So I asked him about his love life. And he said, well, I'm dating this significantly younger person. And I said, well, I give you credit for the courage. You're a mature man. You're in your 50s, and she's in her 30s. Hey, not bad. And he said, gosh, that was really supportive of what you were saying, of what he was saying to me. I, in fact, said it's energy that gets people together, and then they negotiate the deal. I said, is he a buildable? He looked at me. He said, I don't know if he's a buildable. I said, well, right now you're dating him, but you haven't qualified him. You see? And so with that in mind, he's got to find out if the him inside of her is compatible with the him in him.
So, Dr. Pat, tell us, what does it make to have a man want to commit?
What it makes is that he is, you meet enough of his criteria. It's the same reason we give up our independence. Remember, men take on responsibilities, boys don't, and women give up freedom. Women give up independence. That's what women's lived got us. We have to balance the issue of taking on responsibility and giving up independence. Now, you start out a relationship with the balance of who's the response, whose career outranks whose career. Then, as you grow older, I noticed, like in my marriage to my last husband, who was with an alpha, we were very compatible, we were very chemistry oriented, you know, and we were good. He had gone to my seminars looking for a woman, and then he said, why don't I just go after her? And he literally got me with my stuff. Now, I hate to mention this, but the creator of certain work sometimes takes license with their own work. You do know that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So whenever I would do my little flippant thing, like on one Oprah show, I'll mention it, you know, name drop a little bit. On one Oprah show, I missed my limo to go home or something. You know, something went askew. I got home in the middle of the night, and I'm stomping in the house, whatever. And I said to him, if this is what life's worth, you know, like being left in an airport, I'd rather be dead. You know what he did? His favorite trick. Get up, went downstairs. I went to bed, huffy puffy. He left a note, which he was wont to do on a regular basis when I would flip out. It said, please write an essay about how life is valuable living with me, whether or not bad things happen. And then he would move out. It was his house, and he would move out. How long did it take me to realize I may be a great man, but he was even bigger? And he would quote Ironweed to me, you know, Glenn Close and Jack Nicholson. There was life before you, there was life with you, and there will be life after you. Do you know what I did? I learned who a better man was, and it wasn't me. Do you see? And that's my standard of men now. And because of that, he learned my stuff, and I benefited by marrying him.
So, Dr. Pat.
What?
We feel like we could... I know Ariel and I both are having this experience of wanting to speak to you all day. There's so much to go into here. Just before we end, I'm wondering if you could share with us any final thoughts about women who are seeking to create this kind of lasting bond, any additional advice you can offer.
Okay. The first thing I would say is, if you're a hedonist and the world is your heaven, enjoy it. The money, the power, the prestige. But you cannot love as a hedonist. It's too narcissistic. If you truly want to be a good human being, be a stoic. A stoic is a human being who does what's right according to the law, according to your particular religious beliefs. Well, I'm Catholic, and I live by those rules. It's a club, and I live by those rules. And I live by the rules of mating, which, you know, numbers of people. Janoff's book, The Biology of Love. Helen Fisher's book, Why We Love. Live by the laws of mating. You want to love yourself as healthy as you can, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And you want to live a satisfying life, not just a gratifying life. Hedonism makes short promises, but produces lots of cortisol, which will kill you. Stoicism requires attention, honesty, caring for yourself and the people around you. But the rewards are dopamine. I can tell you that at 76, having a boyfriend of 80 who lives by these principles is so much fun, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, that I wish you the joy of discipline.
That's so beautiful. Before we let you go, will you tell us what you're most excited about in your work these days and let our listeners know how to find you?
Okay. The most exciting thing is Mosaics is in treatment now. Movie on the book, on Getting to I Do. I am ecstatic about the idea of a romantic comedy or drama, I don't care what it is, about my work. That's exciting.
Okay. That's so exciting.
I think so too.
Where can people go to find out about it?
I want to tell you that the promoters within Mosaics who did Dark Knight, Ace Ventura, this is not, you know, garage sale, you know, Jimmy Miller owns it. I want you to understand that women that have gotten what they wanted in their life are behind the promotion. And you and I both know show business, it may never happen, but the fun of thinking about it happening is keeping me happy right now. And where can people get in touch with me? DrPatAllen.com or my nonprofit, thewantinstitute.org. The Want Institute is a nonprofit training corporation, you know, 501c3, where I teach housewives, lawyers, doctors how to carry the message of androgynous semantic realignment. The class goes from January to basically September. I teach them from my intellectual, my scholastic point of view, and they practice doing what I teach them to do, and we're making a difference. I'll give you one little story. One little gal who's got a bachelor's degree in psychology had the misfortune of having a car accident, and her brain was seriously wounded. And she was subject to emotional breakings and, you know, upsets. She came into class. Guess what she's doing? In 2 years of training, she now is certified to teach other brain-damaged people how to channel their brain. If you saw Newsweek this week, you saw how to build your mind. You know how? One, exercise. Two, learn a language. That's a particularly good brain builder. And meditate on the mindfulness of your life. Dan Siegel's book, Mindsight.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat. It's just been fascinating talking with you today.
Thank you for having me. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Ultimate Soulmate Summit, brought to you by The Soulmate Secret and the Calling in the One online course. For more information about how you can download the audios in this series or order the CD set and companion workbook, please visit soulmateaudios.com. Again, that's soulmateaudios.com. On behalf of Arielle Ford, Claire Zammit, and our event partners, we want to thank you again for participating in this series and send you much love and support on your journey to manifesting your soulmate.